The lesson from St. John, chapter 20. Then the angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Aaron, Laura, David, Anna, Ben, Megan, Jake, Sarah. The population of India is 1.2 billion people. How many years would it take for each citizen of India to parade past you at the rate of one per second? It would take over 40 years just to see each person for 1 second and not know anything more about them. If your name was in that opening list, you probably started listening a little closer. And if it wasn't, you probably started listening to see if your name would be included. The population of the earth is estimated today at 7 billion people. If each person was given 10 square feet and stood in one large group, they would all fit in an area somewhat larger than the state of Delaware. Thought number 5. God knows how many hairs are on your head. What ties all these thoughts together is Jesus' one word in our text, Mary. When you hear your name, it grabs your attention. When you hear a friend's voice, you take notice. And when your friend calls you by name, it is doubly powerful, as it was here when Jesus simply said, "Mary." Of the 1.2 billion people in India, or the 7 billion people around the world, God knows their names, their thoughts, their passwords, every part of their genetic DNA. He cares about them. He died for them. He rose from the dead for them and for you. One day we will hear Jesus call our name. He will call us forth from this world. He can do that because he rose from the dead. When Mary heard Jesus call her name, it wasn't just a nice memory. For her, it had to be powerful proof that Jesus was risen from the dead, that he had kept his promise, and that all her sins and all the sins of the world were now forgiven. At first, Mary was weeping when we meet her in this text, sad because Jesus was dead, even sadder because she thought someone had stolen his body. But the saddest thing would be if she were right, if Jesus was still dead. Then there would be no hope for her or for any of us. She thought she was talking to the gardener. "Sir, if you have taken away my Lord, tell me where you put his body." And then Jesus calls her name. What a surprise. What a relief. How overjoyed she must have been. And she replies with one word, Rabboni, which means teacher. She recognizes him now as her risen Lord and Savior, the one who teaches her about God and salvation. She trusts in him, believes in him, puts all her hope in him, with that one word. And he keeps teaching her. He keeps instructing her not to cling to his earthly presence. He reminds her that he must ascend into heaven, and that's where her heart should know Jesus is. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. She should know him as true God, who powerfully conquered death and rose from the grave, whose words, "It is finished," were really true, who is once again to be enthroned in the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus also assures her that what he has done by being born, living, dying, and rising again as man and God, he did to take away her sins and our sins. He became our brother in the flesh, so that we too can ascend to the Father. Jesus says, "I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He puts himself in our shoes, so to speak, and he promises to bring us along with him into the glories of heaven, just as he told that dying thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus' words to Mary are astounding when he says, "My Father is your Father. My God is your God." Jesus' Father is our Father. Jesus' God is our God. That fills our Christian faith with everlasting validity. All of God's promises are sure and true. We belong to God. He made us. He redeemed us. He will raise us to eternity. We can truly pray, "Our Father in heaven." After rising from the dead, Jesus was on the earth for another 40 days, walking and talking with his disciples. But then he ascended into heaven to sit in power and glory at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There he still cares about us, praying for us, watching over us and ruling us with grace and kindness. There he prepares a place for us to live forever, heavenly dwelling places in his kingdom of glory. There he is preparing crowns for us to wear, the crown of life. There he has his book, the book of life, with your name written in it. That one word that Jesus said, "Mary," probably echoed in her heart and her mind the rest of her life. Now she is with Jesus face to face in eternal blessedness and happiness. Jesus calls you by name as well. Out of the 7 billion people on earth, Jesus knows you, cares about you, died for you, is preparing a place for you. Amanda, Daniel, Jessica, John, insert your name. You are baptized into Christ. You belong to him. You call him Rabboni, teacher. You will be with him in paradise. Amen.